Jai Baba, Chapter 17. Remember, for nearly 20 to 30 years of Sai settling in Shirdi, not many people would come to meet Baba. He was not known amongst many. Just a few knew him, and especially amongst those who followed Swami Samarth, followed Baba. He was known in Shirdi and in a few towns and villages surrounding Shirdi, but his fame had not yet spread far and wide. Baba was happy to serve the few who came to him, and he was happy being thought of as a mad fakir, who had a habit of abusing, cursing and thrashing one and all whenever he saw fit to do so. The second phase of fame for Baba came after August 1886. It so happened that on 14th August 1886, Baba fell exceedingly ill. Baba suffered from severe asthma, which often made him gasp for breath. His breathing would get so labored that those who were close to him would often begin to weep, being unable to see Baba's suffering. Baba would smile and tell one and all not to worry. If this is what the fakir wanted Baba to experience and go through, so be it. Baba was also tired and longed to merge with the One. He never said it openly, but he looked tired. There was so much taking place in the spirit dimensions, with Baba helping scores of souls to go through their lives with dignity in all the dimensions. Many people did not come to Baba physically, but Baba worked tirelessly in the astral and spirit world. Most of the people whom he helped were not even aware of Baba's presence, leave aside the help which they were getting through this kind and temperamental fakir. Baba walked to a particular spot in Masjidai with the help of Mahal Sapati. It was a full moon night, a beautiful night to do what he had planned, sighed Baba Sai. He laid his head on Mahal Sapati's lap. It was obvious that Baba was going through excruciating discomfort, but he smiled as though reassuring the worried Mahal Sapati. Bhagat, listen to me carefully, Baba whispered as he labored to speak. Allah has decided that I leave this body. Don't get worried. Listen to me carefully. Allah has permitted me to leave this body as it needs to be cleansed, and this cleansing cannot be done with me in the body. I will leave this body in some time. Everybody will think that I have died. My body will show no signs of life, but remember one thing. The way I see it, I shall return to my body in 3 days. If I don't return to this battered body, then you see that plot of land? Bury me on that plot of land that you see over there and put 2 flags, one near my head and the other on the left side of my body. This is to indicate the Sai's body rests in this place. You will have to protect my body, Bhagat. My blessings are with you. And remember, whether I return or not, I am with you and all those who love me and who are mine. Allah Malik. Saying this, Baba exhaled the sigh of release and slumped deeper into the lap of the weeping Mahal Sapati. Thus, on a full moon night of the 14th of August 1886, Baba left his mortal shell. In a short while, the news of Baba dropping his body spread like wildfire. Tatya and Shama came running, weeping as though they were possessed, but the moment Mahal Sa explained what Baba had revealed to him, they stopped weeping and embraced each other. They knew their old man would come back to them. They were sure that he would come back to them hale and hearty. They were used to seeing Baba perform miracles, and they were certain that Baba would perform another miracle and return to his body. For Baba, everything was not only possible, but for him, miracles were mundane happenings in his life. Miracles were made to look like a part of the daily routine where Baba was concerned. So the two men formed a protective ring around Baba and Mahalsapati. There were many who thought that Baba was just a madman, or worse, he was a fake and a fraud. Those who wanted to get rid of Baba began to insist that Baba be buried at the earliest. First, doctors from the villages came to examine Baba, and they declared Baba's body to be dead. Then, on hearing about this strange event in Shirdi about a fakir who was apparently dead but with all intentions of returning back to his body, the British administrator sent the English medical officer to examine the strange happenings. Baba lay with his head on Malsapati's lap. Malsa had not gotten up once. He had remained in the same position since Baba had left his body. Shama, who was a huge and robust man, stood with a sturdy bamboo stick in his hand, daring anybody to come close to his Baba. Tatya, who was well known in the village, used all his influence to galvanize support from the villagers to safeguard Baba's body. Thus, those who loved Baba formed a protective human shield around Baba and Masjidai. The young British medical officer arrived on the third day of Baba leaving his body. He examined Baba's body, declared Baba's body to be dead, but also made it clear that Baba's body exhibited no sign of decay and that the body was still relaxed, and surprisingly, rigor mortis, or the stiffening of the body, had not set in. He was confused, but very politely he suggested that as Baba's body was clinically dead, and especially with the scare of cholera and typhoid, it would be best to bury Baba's body. One stern look from Shama, who was endowed with the body of a pit bull terrier and who had understood English perfectly, was enough. The medical officer sighed and then left. We shall continue this story in the next chapter. Peace be to all. Baba bless us to realize that he is not the body. He is the Paramatma. Jai Sai.